And a very good Sunday morning and happy Easter to all those who are celebrating this morning. With us, we have an expert volunteer, not just any volunteer, an expert volunteer for the American Heart Association. He is also the author of Generation Exercise. Let's introduce Len Saunders. Good morning, Len.
Good morning, Lisa.
Great to have you with us this morning. April is Move More Month, which I have to do. I keep saying when the weather gets warmer, I'll be out there. And so far, it's not too warm, but it's getting there. So, yeah, it's so important. So we're going to talk about how much we should be moving each day and about the message of Move More Month. And then we'll be talking about your book and some great events you have going on. So I guess we'll start off with, can you tell me why April is a special month for the American Heart Association?
The American Heart Association really wants people to get up and get moving and get about. There's so many statistics now that support the fact that many Americans are overweight or obese, and their life expectancies are getting shorter. And the American Heart Association is really concerned about that. So they have April as Move More Month, where they're encouraging families, adults, children, everybody to get up, moving, get outside, play, exercise, go to the gym, anything they can to get themselves moving.
Do you think kids played a lot more years ago, and with social media and video games, they're kind of sedentary?
I honestly do. And if you do a lot of research now, you'll see people, experts, stating that this could be the first generation of children whose life expectancy could be shorter than their parents.
Yeah.
And that's alarming. That's really alarming to hear. Technology has literally taken over, and many children are on the phones and playing video games in the house.
Yeah.
And, you know, being in the Northeast here, when the weather's cold, they get into those habits of staying inside and not doing much. So it's important that we do encourage them to take some time out of the day and exercise.
Yeah, if they see their parents doing so, they're more apt to do that as well. I remember years ago, we were out all day as kids, you know, summer break, even after school or on a Saturday, all day. You would be outside, you would be playing dodgeball or kickball or stickball or anything like that, riding our bikes. You know, I see some kids riding the bikes, but like you said, not as much. We really didn't have a choice when it came to playing. It was go outside and play with your friends.
And I wonder sometimes if the world has changed or parents have evolved to take care of their children differently. Even back in the day when I was a kid and went out to play, I didn't have a cell phone if I needed to reach out to anybody for help.
Right.
And nowadays, kids do have cell phones, and if they do need help, they can call somebody. But is the world safer back then? Is it safer now? That's mm-hmm. always a question that I think about a lot.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what has changed so much. We do get our kids involved more in activity when it comes to karate or team sports, and I think that's on the rise now again. But I don't think kids going outside on their own is on the rise. A lot of it on locations, you know, where people can't walk places or both parents are working now and the kids can't go outside unsupervised. I know when I was a kid, I would walk literally 2 miles to school, and that was in elementary school when I was in second grade. And I don't know many kids that do that now. The majority of kids take buses to school.
Right.
So a lot has changed in our world, but we really need to be creative and come up with ways, novel ways, to get kids up and moving.
Yeah, which we will be talking about today. I remember also walking to my games. And I'm guilty of it now, though. I have a food store within walking distance from my home. And what do? I jump in the car and I use the excuse that, well, I'll have some groceries to carry, when I could easily take a walk to the food store. I jump in my car, or to the post office, or really to anywhere. There's a lot of places within walking distance that we've become so accustomed to just jumping in the car. Years ago, my mom, she never drove. And I know a lot of women, my mom's 88, and she is still, God bless her, in great shape, and she says, I walked everywhere. You know, back then there were just some buses, but she walked everywhere. And I think with the cars and everything, you just jump in the car and you don't think twice about it. And you brought up a very good point. We drive our kids to school or they're on the bus. You don't see many kids walking to school at all.
And the thing is, the American Heart Association really wants people to think about that, because we're really in an era of convenience.
Yeah.
Everything is being done. We're going to have cars that drive themselves soon, if everybody. But everything right now is convenience, and convenience does sell. And people do fall into that trap of everything being done in an easier fashion. But when that happens, we're exerting less energy to do things. And, you know, you pick up your phone, you can order a pizza, and, you know, you don't go pick it up on your own. I mean, everything is so easy for us now. Yeah. And I think that does affect us in a physical and mental way. I'm not thinking it makes us lazy, but I do think that people are so busy in their lives that we're looking for ways to make things easier. But as it turns out, it's causing us to be less physical with our bodies and doing less with our bodies. And we really need to be cognizant of that, because we have to always think of ways to cheat that and come up with ways to exercise. And the American Heart Association, you know, always has some great examples. Like, you know, for example, you know, they want you to take walks during your lunch break, which many people don't do. And now that the weather is getting warmer in the Northeast where we live, it's a good idea to do that. And then other ways, you know, when you're in your office, take breaks from the office and walk around the office a little bit. You know, take stairs. Do things at your desk that could help you be active. You know, park your car far away from the exit so you have to walk. You know, things like that. Or find a partner at work who's interested in walking with you at certain times of the day. Look into a workplace wellness program at the office where they can get time out during the day to do something as a group, whether it's aerobic exercise or going for a team walk or anything of that nature. So we're really looking for ways to stop that convenience and to really change what we did and almost go back to what we did 30, 40 years ago, where we didn't have all these luxuries available to us, but we were physically active at that time.
For sure. How much, Len, should we be moving every day, according to the American Heart Association?
Well, they want you to get about 30 minutes a day. And what they suggest is about 150 minutes of moderate to vigorous activity and also 75 minutes of vigorous activity. And that really, if you add it up, comes up to about 30 minutes a day. Children, it's a different type of thing for them. They really encourage them to get about 60 minutes a day. But their type of activity is a lot different. We just want kids to get up and play, you know, whether it's, you know, going out to the park and playing in the playground or playing a game of kickball or just getting some type of physical activity away from the technology. And adults, you know, whether it's going to the gym, going for a walk, you know, go have a personal trainer come to you, whatever it is, but just to get about 30 minutes of that a day.
You know, when you break it down to that, 30 minutes isn't bad. And even if you, can you break it up into 15-minute increments, like twice a day? Does that count?
Absolutely. And they do say that also, that you can break it up. It doesn't have to be 30 minutes of continuous activity. The great thing is if you do break it up, you can increase it gradually each day, where you can do it maybe three times a day for 15 minutes or, you know, four times a day. And then you're getting to a point where, you know what, I'm liking this. I feel better. I feel healthier. I feel more, you know, cognizant of things. My body feels good. You know, I feel like I'm fighting diseases and I'm productive at work, you know, and then you get a combination with getting enough sleep and hydrating the body properly and eating properly, and all these things start coming together. Because really, the big turnoff for many people is they expect results right away, and baby steps when it comes to your health. Just like if you're out of shape right now, it took time to get there, and it takes time to go in reverse. So I think these small baby steps and getting to a level where you're happy, eventually you're going to feel good about yourself, and you're going to feel good about your program that you're doing and whatever it is, and you're going to lead a healthier lifestyle.
Yeah, and how much does diet play a role in this, Len?
It plays a huge role. And if you think about it, a lot of us are getting our calories from really unnecessary sources. For example, children, you know, you read some studies, they say some studies, one out of three calories a child gets is from liquid candy. And, you know, people always say to me, should I stop my kid from having all those sugary drinks? And I say, you know what? No, just moderate. It doesn't have to be a complete stop cold turkey. Obviously, you don't want your kids having that if they're having it in large quantities, but just moderation is the key. You know, if somebody wants to have a piece of cake when they're out to dinner for a Saturday night, I tell people, sure, go for it, but don't eat the whole thing or share it with a partner. It doesn't mean you have to stop being healthy and happy. And, you know, everything's in moderation. And we need to cut back on a lot of those unnecessary calories and learn about healthy eating. You know, there's a difference between carbohydrates. Some carbohydrates are good for you, the complex ones, and some, the simple ones, the sugary ones, are not good. And same thing goes for fats. There are fats that are actually healthy for you, and there are other fats that are not healthier for you. So it's a matter of learning about what you can eat in your diet, moderating what you're having, limit portion sizes. Just because your food's in the plate, it doesn't mean you have to eat everything in that plate.
Yeah.
And also, getting enough sleep also has a big impact on diet, because when you get enough sleep, you keep the hormones related to appetite stable. So your body knows when it's full, when your body is rested. Plus, if you're getting enough sleep, you're not up as many hours, you're not going to eat as much either. So it all works together. Hydration, sleep, diet, exercise, it all works together. And if you could do a little bit with each one, you'll see progress over time.
Yeah, and you're so right when you said people expect fast results. I'm one of them. When you said vigorous exercise a week, what counts as vigorous?
First of all, I always tell people, and the American Heart Association always says this too, you should always get a checkup with your physician before you start any type of exercise program. So I wanted to say that first.
Okay.
But once you do get that clearance, you know, it's whether going for a bike ride where you're riding for a continuous amount of time, where it's aerobic, you know, 20, 30 minutes without stopping, and your amount of oxygen that you're intaking is increased at that moment, and your heart rate's increasing for an extended period of time. Going for a slow jog, you know, walking at a steady pace, these could be vigorous activities.
Hmm.
The less vigorous ones could be, you know, maybe going outside and going to the playground with your child, or playing a little basketball in the driveway where it's stop and go, but you're resting in between. But you're getting some type of physical activity, you know, taking the steps at work, where you take it, you know, it takes a minute to go up and down the steps. And, you know, so these are less vigorous type of activities. But all in all, just encourage you to get some type of physical activity that, you know, whether it's vigorous or moderate, I think the American Heart Association is just happy that people
yeah.
are getting some type of activity. So, you know, do you need to sit there and, okay, I'm marking down in my book, okay, this was vigorous, this was moderate. They don't care about that. They really want you to just get up and move.
Move More Month, the month of April. And you know what's nice that you said, because I think a lot of people do put that pressure, oh, I had a piece of cake, I blew it. Now I blew my diet, I'm going to just eat a pint of ice cream. If you do it in moderation, it doesn't really seem like you're denying yourself any guilty pleasures. You know, like you said, have a piece of cake on a Saturday night and don't feel guilty about it. You got to enjoy, because I think if you deny yourself all kinds, I know a lot of people say, I'm avoiding sugar for a month, and then they're craving it and craving it. So you're right. I think if you, everything in moderation, like you said, and it takes the pressure off, I think you are more apt to succeed.
I agree with that. And I think another thing we always have to take into account, and I work mostly with children all day, but you can't compare yourself also to other people. And
right.
I think a lot of people get discouraged when they see somebody who's really fit and in shape. And you know what? And they have a different lifestyle than you. You're competing with one person in life, and that's yourself. And that's why I teach children, and that's why I tell adults too. So you do something that's at your pace, that makes you happy, and that makes you feel good about yourself. You're not out there to please anybody but yourself. You want your health to be number one, and don't study other people. You know, I have friends that go to the gym, and they get really upset. They see these people there who are, you know, really buff and working out and lifting these heavy, intense weights. You know, but we know nothing about them. Maybe, you know, that's their job requires them to be that way, or maybe they're not married with kids and they have more time. And you know, you don't know what other people's lives, what paths they're taking. But you go there and you do the best that you can, and not compare yourself to other people. You know, and I think it's the way to live your life is you want to be happy, and like you said, not to deprive yourself of those guilty pleasures.
Yeah, and you know what? There is so much comparing, especially with young girls. You can go the extreme where they want to be super, super thin. So it's tough. It really is. There's a lot of comparing going on. Our guest this morning is Len Saunders. Len is an expert volunteer with the American Heart Association, and we're talking about April being Move More Month. We've got a lot more to cover. We'll be right back with Len Saunders. And we are back. Our guest this morning is Len Saunders. I'm enjoying talking to you so much about April being Move More Month, because really want to get inspired, and the warmer weather's coming. And you know what else is hard? It seems that everyone is sitting at an office chair. Not a lot of offices have those chairs where you stand up. And I know that sitting for 8 hours a day is so tough on the body.
It's very tough. And I have a friend that sits at a desk all day long, and they tell me how much their back hurts, and like, what can I do? So I gave him simple things. You know, I gave him a tennis ball. I said, put it on the floor beneath your chair and take off your shoe and just roll that tennis ball back and forth from your feet. And tell me how your back feels and how you... One simple little thing, and they loved it. They like massages my feet, but it gets the blood circulating, and I just feel, you know, I'm moving as I'm doing it. You know, little things that you could do like that. take a time out, go for a walk around the office, get a drink of water, you know, go to the stairs, go up and down the stairs, find something to do just to get away, because there is a lot of relations between physical activity and cognitive skills. And many studies prove the fact that when you do get physical activity, you are more coherent, your brain is functioning at the highest level, and you're going to be more productive at work. So a lot of bosses don't care if you get up and move around a little bit, because they know at the end it's going to help you be more productive.
And you know what, too? Exercise is very important for depression.
That there really is. And I think I told you when we talked earlier that I had written a book about something with that for children. And I really feel that getting that physical activity is important, because it does fight those type of things. And there are many children and adults out there who do have a difficult time, especially in the Northeast where we live, and the weather is cold and the days are short and people are locked in their homes, and there's a lot to think about. And I do think it's important that you do get that physical activity, because it does help you in that sense. It releases endorphins and serotonin in the brain, and those are those happy hormones that make you feel better. So, yeah, I do think that exercise does help with that.
Len, when did you write your book, Generation Exercise?
I wrote that with Dr. Suzanne Schneiderman. It's actually coming out in June, and we're very excited about it. And the book is really, it's those things that are obvious a lot of times, but you don't know or you forget. There's chapters in the book about diet and nutrition and fitness and exercise and hydration and sleep and ideas of what you could do with your families to stay healthy and fit. So it's like a reference guide for families to do everything the American Heart Association always, you know, says to do, is to get up and move and eat right and, you know, fight heart disease and stroke and all those things that do bring us down.
It sounds like a practical advice book.
It's very practical. My theory is keep it simple. And I think, you know, when you get to those extremes where people are making health and fitness so scientific, for many people, it is a turnoff. And I like that simple approach where you just talk about the basics and what changes you can make to your lifestyle to help you be healthier. Just like with children, when they succeed at something, they're more encouraged to do it more.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with healthy lifestyle. If you make things a little more simpler and people have some type of achievement, they're more motivated to continue, opposed to making things so difficult to achieve that they're turned off and they stop and they just don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
So this book does hopefully accomplish that.
I could not agree more. Simple sounds so nice. I know you have a program going on called ACES, Len. Tell us about that.
Yeah, May 1st is going to be actually the 31st anniversary of the event. But Project ACES stands for All Children Exercise Simultaneously. And on that day, at 10 o'clock in the morning, millions of children all over the country, and now 50 countries participate, are going to exercise simultaneously to promote healthy lifestyle and fitness, eating right, hydrating the body, sleep, all the things that we've talked about already. It's a day to promote physical education and movement and all those things that are important to help us lead that healthy lifestyle that we always talk about. So I'm very excited about that. The program has received support from presidents of the United States and governors and sports figures, and it's non-competitive, it's fun, it's free. In Michigan alone last year, there was about 500,000 kids participate.
Wow.
In New Jersey, we have a good amount of kids that participate. So I'm very excited about the event, and 31 years we've been doing it.
Wow, I'm excited you're telling us about it, because I'm sorry to say I did not hear about it in New Jersey, and it's been around a while. Can folks go to a website for that information, Len?
They can go to projectaces.com, or they can go to my homepage, lensaunders.com. Either one will give them the information that they need to know.
All right. What about Exercise Us?
Okay, so September is National Childhood Obesity Awareness Month, and there's an event that we do there called Exercise Us, or Exercise the United States. And what happens is kids in the United States exercise for 10 continuous hours that day. But before you think they're exercising for 10 hours straight, each kid, they're not. What happens is schools sign up for a 15-minute slot. The program starts at 8 o'clock in the morning. So from 8 o'clock to 8:15, a school is going to exercise. And then at 8:15, they're done. A new school is going to start exercising at 8:15 to 8:30. And that continues for 10 continuous hours. So it starts off here on the East Coast, it ends up in California, Hawaii, Alaska, all those schools that are, you know, further away from us. But it's 10 hours. It's like a giant relay race of fitness.
Yeah, like the wave all across
yep.
the U.S.
Giant wave.
Oh, that's terrific. And commercial sizing, what's that all about?
Well, a lot of parents always say, what can we do, you know, especially we're in the house, it's raining, it's snowing, and we can't get outside to play, what can we do? And we all know that children watch way too much TV or on technology of some sort. So what we do for commercial sizing, when you're watching TV, which some kids watch to between 2 or 4 hours a day, which is a lot,
wow.
But every time a commercial comes on, commit to exercising for the entire commercial break. So if a kid watches 4 hours of TV a night, that could accumulate to like 45 minutes of exercise right there. So it's just a commitment that you do when you're watching TV. And, you know, some kids maybe don't watch TV, but they read a lot. Every time you go through 5 pages, exercise for 4 or 5 minutes. You know, you can be creative and trade out things. If your kid doesn't read or watch TV, if they're on the phone, same thing. Every few minutes, take a break and get some exercise in. It's just a way to motivate people to get up and move.
Oh, I love that idea. Do you ever see the amount of commercials they play now in between?
Oh, please.
The shows?
Even on the computer when you're watching something pops up.
Yeah, but that makes it fun. And I really like the idea that this is a group effort with the kids. And it doesn't seem like exercise if it's fun, especially with Exercise Us. Other book. What other books have you written, Len?
Oh, one book I'm very proud of. And I mentioned to you earlier when we were talking about depression. It's a book called Buddy and Bee. And it's actually a story about my mom and dad, and not to depress you right now, but my dad had passed away before I was born, never met him. And then my mom, when she passed away, I was very sad to a point I didn't know what to do. So I decided to write this book about them, but I did it in a story format, and the book is about a leaf and a bird. The bird is my mom, the leaf is my dad. And what happens is a bird builds a nest on a branch, and then this leaf pops up there, it buds, and they become friends. And the bird watches the leaf go through all the seasons where it buds from a tree, and then it dries out a little bit through the summer, but then when it rains again, it gets healthy, and then before you know it, fall comes, and the leaf starts changing colors, and then it's getting closer to winter, and to the leaf finally falls from the tree, and they have to separate from each other because, you know, the leaf is now, you know, going into the ground. But then in the springtime, a new leaf comes up, and the bird makes friends with the new leaf, and it's just about the circle of life.
Wow.
And it helps teach children about life and death in a good way, if that sounds right, but it's a non-threatening way, and it teaches them about life and loss. And I've gotten so much positive feedback about this book from parents who, like, you know what, this book helped my child really understand life and its meaning, and it put perspective in things, and it makes me feel good to know. And I'm not making any money off the book, and, you know, any proceeds that have gone to the Boys and Girls Club in Northern New Jersey. So I'm very proud of this book, and the feedback and the reviews have been outstanding, and the artwork is just gorgeous. The storyline is so wonderful. It will bring a happy tear to your eye when you read the book.
I love that concept, Len. That is so nice, and I agree with you. Children need to know about that in a non-threatening way, and what a great idea that was, and thank you for writing that.
Thank you. I'm very, very proud of it.
Well, Len, we covered a lot today. Children in exercising, adults in exercising, our diet, our lifestyle. And like you said, start out slow. You know, slow and steady wins the race, as they say. If folks want more information about the American Heart Association and Move More Month, where can they go?
They have the website set up for that. You can go to heart.org/movemore.
All right. And I want to thank you personally because you've motivated me a little bit, because I am the least person that, you know, exercise is kind of like against my religion, but I know it's terrible. When it's cold out, I just don't want to exercise, but you have some great tips. Len Saunders, I want to thank you once again for joining us this morning. Privileged to have you here today. I had a lot of fun.
Thank you, Lisa. I had a great time.